Angels and Devils. How Facebook and social media encourages the dark side of humanity. In this session, you're about to discover the 9 main ways that social media actively triggers our lower self and creates a cycle of addiction and dependency. Once you see what is really happening in your newsfeed, you'll never be able to view social media the same way again. So one of the biggest problems with Facebook and social media in general is not really about the companies or the services themselves. They're just trying to make some money and to do something with their lives just like any other companies. But the real issue is what happens inside of human nature and how these companies are predominantly targeting and promoting our lower nature. Right, so the companies are just using the dark side within us in order to make money. And this is what we need to be concerned about, because engaging with these different systems is basically putting ourselves in a situation where we are going to trigger the negativity within us. So if you didn't get involved with it, you'd have less triggers. And if you do get involved with it, you're going to have more triggers. So in other words, your own dark side will become amplified by using these services. And as you're about to discover, it isn't that it's just can be used for good or for evil in the same degree. It actually actively triggers the dark side, whereas it doesn't actively trigger the angel within us. So we humans have both an angel and a devil within us. And you might have seen those pictures with someone sitting there with a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other shoulder. We have the capacity within us to transcend our ego-based lower nature of selfishness and cravings and wanting and experience the profound peace and the bliss of life. We also have the capacity to just be selfish creatures that just care about what we can get and pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. So the angel represents the best of the human activity: love, harmony, purity, compassion, beauty, truth, and being of service to our brothers and sisters. The devil nature represents the worst of humanity: our greed, hatred, lust, craving, addiction, vanity, selfishness, projection, gossip, venting, arrogance, I am right, need for approval, jealousy, voyeurism, obsessiveness, escapism, and the list goes on and on. And throughout history, people have attempted to tap into the higher, sacred, sublime in life. And this end of choosing to feel those higher feelings and re-experience that has been sought through activities like prayer and meditation and sacred dances and music. So the arts were originally designed to help us transcend. So when people in previous generations in history created art, it was always with the intention of going to a higher dimension. And that's what a lot of art does for us. So for example, if you go to sacred places, prayer, temples, cathedrals, mosques, and other holy places, when you're in those spaces, you often leave in a state of awe and wonder. And I'm sure you've probably experienced that yourself, where you go to a sacred place that is designed for a higher consciousness, for meditation, and it's just conducive of higher consciousness. Like just down the road, we have this Buddhist stupa, which is like a big pillar with a picture of the Buddha on the top, a statue with all these prayer flags. And I like to go there. You go on a nice little hike and sit down, and I have wonderful meditation. at that place because it's designed for that purpose, compared to sitting in, you know, Walmart or just driving around in the car. Yeah, there's a difference, different energy. And so these places have been designed to elevate us. Our higher nature has been elevated through art and beautiful music and opera and poetry and other forms designed to elevate the spirit and bring out the best in us. And remember that we human beings are products of our environment to a very large degree. So there's the nature and nurture, you know, this kind of thing. People think that, used to think it was just all genes at one point. It's partly to do with our genes, but it's largely to do with our environment. And so if we're exposed to the beautiful music and beautiful places, it has a profound beneficial effect on us. Now, social media, on the other hand, does none of these things. There's no comparison between staring at an Instagram newsfeed and walking the labyrinth at Shard's Cathedral. Yeah, or listening to opera, or looking at a beautiful painting, or sitting in a temple doing meditation. There's no comparison. Overall, social media, by conscious design of the companies, pulls us away from the sublime, higher consciousness, peace, and the sacred, and it actively promotes the devil within us, the dark side within us, to a far greater extent than the angel. Right? Now, if you don't believe this, just have a look at what is going on in social media. What are all the posts about? What is most of the content? And why do people use it? So yeah, sure, you can try and publish some posts that offer higher insights. You could post something about meditation or about higher awareness. But will people see it? Maybe they'll see it, but what is mostly going on social media? If you were to look at the actual numbers, what percentage of social media is dedicated to higher awareness? And how much time and attention is given to those things? What is the most popular? What gets the most attention? Just have a look for yourself and compare the amount of attention given to these spiritual things versus the amount of attention given to gossip, news, porn, and everything else. Posting beautiful things on social media is a little bit like putting an ice cube in hell. Yeah, dropping a few ice cubes down into hell. Yeah, people appreciate it for a moment, but then it disappears, goes up with evaporation. So you can find some good stuff on social media, and you can make a difference to people's lives, possibly, by using it carefully. But be hyper aware of the platform's intentions and what's really going on. Social media is littered with trivia, gossip, mindless entertainment, and the latest news. And most of the news, by the way, has been crunched into a soundbite that is devoid of any real news story. So Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it's soundbites. It's attention-grabbing trivia, basically. And those who mastermind these networks are well aware of the human psychology and how they trigger us into knee-jerk reactions so that we keep coming back for more. They know how to trigger us. And they know that if we're not addicted, we won't come back for more. And if we don't come back for more, then they lose money and they lose market share, right? And that's what they want. They have meetings, they're in boardrooms, looking at the numbers, how much engagement, how many people have joined. Yeah, their motivation is how can we get more people, more numbers, more this, more that. So they use every trick in the book and invent new ones to trigger the addict inside of us so we keep coming back again and again and again. Now, if the devil within us was removed, if the dark side within human beings was somehow just removed today, and all of a sudden we didn't have a lower nature, it just disappeared, I believe social media would collapse almost overnight. If it wasn't for our own dark side, social media would basically disappear. Because it's the devil inside of us that is obsessed and addicted to it. And if everyone were to wake up tomorrow feeling free and full of love, they wouldn't need social media because they would rather connect with real people who are all around them with love and joy. It would end. There would be no need for it. And what I personally dislike most about social media is how it consciously triggers the worst in me and others. Shamelessly triggers the dark side. And they know what they're doing. And if anything, hopefully you're taking away from all these audios is that on the other side of your screen, the people who put this stuff together for you, there's 1,000 of them whose job is designed to break you down and make you an addict. And that, you know, it's an unfair situation, right? So what I find distressing is that my own dark side is being triggered again and again by using these different platforms, and your dark side and everyone else's dark side. And so I don't want to have to face my shadow self unnecessarily, you know? I like to face myself to do deep spiritual work. And unlike deep spiritual work where we transcend the shadow, you know, when you really look at yourself and you go have sessions and therapy and coaching and meditation and all these different things, silence retreats, we can face our shadow and deal with it. But with social media, there's no salvation or transcendence. All that happens is we're triggered. The devil is amplified within us, and we're left off with a bigger devil who's now been fed and is made stronger and now demands more and more and more food to keep him satisfied, fueling the addiction further. So here's a few ways that social media actively triggers our lower self and creates a cycle of addiction. And you can listen to this carefully, and then next time you're using these different platforms, notice how they are operating. Number one, social comparison and greed for status. Social media is, in essence, a ranking system, a social ranking system. And it is fueled by this idea, who is the most popular person? So who is more popular than who? Who is part of the in clique? Yeah. Just like in school or just like in work, you know, this dark side of the human psyche of who is the most popular, greed for status, I want to be the top dog, yeah? This can be transcended. People of higher consciousness aren't really worried about this stuff, but the lower nature is obsessed with status. And so the aim is to get more likes, more comments, more shares, more fans, more views. And this drives people. They won't admit it. They'll say, I want more influence, I want to help more people, but really it's a drive for status. So it promotes our need for more and more and more and more and more, and fuels the same kind of dysfunctional social behavior that you can see kids at high school playing to get more attention, to be part of the cool groups. And this dark desire for fame and approval runs deep. And Facebook takes advantage of it, giving people a new place to play the popularity game. There's a great quote that I saw recently that basically said there's only two kinds of people who use social media. Firstly, there are those who want more fans and followers. And secondly, there are those who are liars. Right? And really no one can argue with that because basically that's what it comes down to in almost every case. And, you know, well, the interesting thing about the dark side within us is that it likes to cover its tracks and deny its mischief, right? So while all these shady things are actually going on, the dark side likes to think that it doesn't have any of that happening and it's all very good and noble, but actually this is what's going on really. So since millions of others are also playing this game for status and fans and likes and clicks, you have to keep up and keep getting more and more and more and more, otherwise you lose out. And Facebook is even designed to favor those who are more active and playing more often by showing their posts to more people and thereby rewarding them with more clicks. So in essence, you are working for Facebook, because remember, Facebook is designed, whatever you do goes into their system, and then they use that information to sell to others and to advertisers to sell stuff to you, right? I use Facebook at this point for ads myself, and they give you all sorts of options to show the right stuff to the right people, right? So remember, when we use Facebook for our personal consumption, what we're doing is working for Facebook for free, and then they reward us with more clicks. So in essence, you're working for Facebook, and then Facebook gives you something back in return for your precious life force. It's like you've been siphoned into their huge database, gathering your cooperation, and then because you've been, you know, giving them what they need to make money, they give you a little bit of dopamine. Here's a few likes, here's a few clicks, good for you, you know, carry on, keep up the good work, you know, pat on the back, well done, get back to work. So once you've become trapped in the system and you want to keep getting more praise and you want to keep up the good work, and so after a while, yeah, you get trapped in it. And the only way to get more is to do more of the things so that you can get more of the rewards. So you have to keep posting, keep liking, keep sharing, keep commenting, keep engaging so that you get the things that the ego wants. And in order to get more engagement, now this is very important, in order to get more engagement, get more likes, clicks, comments, you have to play to the lowest common denominator. What does it mean? It means you have to water things down to appease other people's lower nature. Because remember, people go into a trance state when they're scrolling through the newsfeed. So if you give someone something they have to think about, and something like profound that requires new thinking, that's too hard, right? What people respond to best on social media is instant gratification. So if you show a picture of a sexy woman, you'll get lots and lots and lots of likes. If you say something that someone already believes in, like a quote they believe in or a political position that they already believe in, then you get lots of likes as well. If you confront people with new information, they either ignore it completely because it's too stressful to think about, or they'll attack you for it because social media is designed to give you more of what you want and avoid everything else. So if you show people pictures of beautiful women, like a woman wearing a bikini, beautiful woman with a bikini, you'll get more likes and images than if you send a picture of a landscape or meaningful quotes or meaningful messages. So in other words, by aiming at people's base desires, we get more engagement than by focusing on higher aims. And I've experimented with this myself, and there's no doubt about it, and other people have as well. No question. If I put pictures of either myself, you know, looking cool or something, or quotes that people already agree with, all of a sudden lots of likes and comments. If I show things that are challenging, what's going on really, what's really happening, people can't handle it. I either get ignored or shamed, yeah? And this isn't just me, this is across the board, and you can try it for yourself. Notice the difference. Post a beautiful, sexy picture of something or a little quote, and then post something that requires serious thought. See what happens, yeah? So social media promotes and feeds into the lower nature and triggers those needs by using it. Now, of course, there might be some exceptions. If the only people you connect with are very highly conscious souls, and they are only interested in very high vibe things, and you show it only to them, then you probably would get some good feedback from those people. But most of social media, the majority of it, this is not going to work at all. So those who are hungry for fame will take to Facebook like a drug, like crack, and spend all their time hawking over likes and shares and creating strategies, schemes to gain more of the appearance of popularity. And you can also buy likes and views, yeah? There's loads of websites that you just can go on there and say, I want, you know, 5,000 new fans or 10,000 fans or a million views on YouTube. And really, what's the difference between paying for it or spending your time on it? I used to think there was a big ethical issue between buying fans and not. But now that I've looked into it more, it seems to me that wasting your time or buying fans is pretty much the same thing in many ways, right? The whole system is corrupt. So whether you do it supposedly legitimately, whether you pay for Facebook ads or whether you use another method, it's kind of like picking the difference between two of the evils. They're both bad, right? So next thing, hopefully I'm not shocking you too much here. Second thing, addiction. Let's face it, social media is extremely addictive. And like any other addiction, people who are addicted to social media can't help themselves from acting out and using. And you don't know whether or not you're properly addicted until you try to stop doing something. So a lot of people say, no, I'm not addicted. Oh yeah? All right, well, stop using it for a month and see what happens. See if you sneak your way back onto to these things. Like other addictions, the more you use it, the more you need to use it to get your fix. And that's why social media keeps getting bigger, because it requires a greater amount of time to get those little kicks that would have come from a less dose, smaller dose. So whereas an hour might have been enough to give you a nice kick before, then it becomes an hour and a half, then 2 hours, then 3 hours. Like television, started off small, now people spend, you know, 4 hours a day on TV and other things. Thirdly, vanity. Social media promotes vanity. What is the name of it? Facebook. Instagram. What is Instagram? It's mostly Vanitygram. You know, you might as well really change the name, Vanitygram, because the people who use it, generally speaking, it's pictures of themselves, and you know, the people who are doing really well, they tend to be beautiful women who got all these sexy pictures of them, and people love it. Yeah, that's what it is mostly about. So we don't just post the worst pictures of ourselves. We use apps to doctor the images, pick the right one, and then post them, and then wait to see likes and comments. And of course, the more we are obsessed about our self-image and taking pictures of ourselves and posting them, the more our vanity is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Number four, gossip. Most of social media, frankly, is gossip. What is it? What, if you analyze it, what is it? It's gossip about others. Yep. Trivial conversations. So-and-so said this. So-and-so said this. You post something. Someone else says something. So it's mostly nonsense content for a start. And then people talking about that nonsense content. Or what happened in the news. Gossip, gossip. So-and-so did this. Or I did this. And so it's kind of like low value, you know, small talk that you might have with a friend standing in line to get a cup of coffee or something. But to spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours a day on small talk and gossip seems to me to be a bit of a waste of time, really. So trivial conversations, random time wasting with little value, often at the expense of others. So there's a lot of slander on social media. So-and-so did this, you know, shaming people, trolling people. So people even gossip in person nowadays about things they saw on social media. So have you ever heard someone, or maybe noticed it in yourself, where you've been talking to someone and said, did you see so-and-so's latest post? Did you see how she looked? I can't believe she posted that. I can't believe he posted that. Did you see that image on Facebook from so-and-so? So I hear this all the time when I'm wandering around, and I've done it myself as well. I can't believe that thing. Did you see about? So people are now gossiping on social media and then gossiping about social media off social media, right? Now, gossip isn't the best use of our time and energy. If it was, then that's great. But remember, the dark side loves to gossip. The dark side loves vanity. The dark side loves addiction. The dark side loves status seeking. Moving on. Number 5, hatred and venting. Venting, a large percentage of social media use is venting and hatred of others. Nasty posts about what you don't like. There's so many vicious comments on social media about other people, fake news. There is far more negativity and hatred on social media than positive news. I know plenty of people who said they can't handle going on Facebook or social media anymore because all they see is venting, venting, venting. So they might have originally gone on there to get their little, you know, interest, what's happening today, and connect with people. But what ends up happening is their whole news feed is full of dark stuff. So while our life itself around us might be quite pleasant, you go online and you see, oh my God, this is a total nightmare. And we talked about this in other sessions, that the ego has a tendency towards negativity. It likes it. It likes its negativity. It's addicted to suffering. So there's endless hating and venting. Number 6, projection. Projection. So we don't see the world as it is. We see it as we are. So when we go on social media, we project upon others our own opinions, thus amplifying our projection. Right? So if you think the world is a terrible place, then you'll project that onto other people and onto social media. If you think the world is a wonderful place, you'll think it's fantastic. Right? And so we project onto the things we see, everything. And this isn't just social media, this is just life in general. So what happens is the more we project onto others, the stronger our opinion becomes. And social media is designed to show us the sorts of things that they know that we like, and so our level of projection and being right gets stronger and stronger. Right? And in case you're wondering, well, am I just projecting my nonsense onto social media because I don't like it? Well, to some degree, I'm sure I am. And also, I'm not just making this up. This is stuff that is very obvious to many, many, many people if you talk to them, and I'm sure it's pretty obvious to you. But like everything, you can believe whatever you want and do whatever you want. Number 7, voyeurism. Voyeurism. Social media is inherently voyeuristic. You know, I went on to the Facebook page recently just to see what they said about Facebook when you log in. Most people are always logged in, so you'd never see the page. What it basically said is, see your friends and family. Yeah, see what other people are doing. That was one of the main bullet points that Facebook's saying. Join Facebook so you can see what others are doing. Sounds innocent enough. They're not hiding the fact that people do that. But what is it for you to basically spy on other people's lives? And Facebook has been used by many people to stalk other people. For example, one woman broke up with her boyfriend, and she spent the next 5 years stalking him every day on Facebook. 5 years. Every day she obsessively went on there to see what is he doing, what did he post, where is he going, where has he been, what's happened, and if he didn't post, why didn't he post, what has he been up to. Then this isn't a rare thing, this is quite common. So you might not be stalking people, you probably aren't stalking anyone, but that interest tendency towards voyeurism, secretly looking at others and what they're doing, is not really the best behavior. You know, it's not a higher consciousness thing. Again, it's activating the dark side. And most people don't comment or like things, but they are secretly watching and observing. So one of the fascinating things I discovered on social media is that I thought, quite honestly, that I wasn't having a great deal of impact on other people because I didn't get that many likes and comments relative to what I would expect. But then I found out that there's tons and tons of people, perhaps 200 times more, like a big, big increase, I don't know the exact number, of people who never commented. I never saw their name come up with any notifications, who were watching videos and paying attention to things. So while, of course, there are plenty of people who like, click, comment, share, there are a much, 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 much bigger number of people who do all look at what you're doing, but don't tell you about it. And the only reason I discovered this is by getting emails from people on a fairly regular basis saying things like, thank you so much for your video, it was really awesome, you know. And I'm like, who is this person, you know, and I've never seen their name. And these sort of things again and again and again and again and again, and meeting people in person who said, oh, you Michael McIntosh, I don't consider myself in any way a famous person, but like when people come up to me and recognize me, I'm like, this is weird, you know. So it's voyeurism, right? Now, one is someone checking out your work. I don't actually consider that voyeuristic. If someone's like studying stuff you put out there to be watched, okay? But it can easily be used to just stalk people and just go, how's this person doing? How's this person doing? It's interesting to know how they're doing, but it would be better if you actually wanted to find out if you talk to them. Because the other thing very interesting is that I've seen people post stuff on Facebook on the news feed, you know, when I've logged in and seen all these different updates and whatnot. And so and so is doing great. I had this great day, and they show a picture of them on the beach or something. And on a number of occasions, I have messaged people and said, hey, so and so, how are you doing? And I saw a picture from them on that same day, maybe even like 10 minutes earlier or an hour earlier, where everything was great. And because I saw it, I thought to message them just out of curiosity, how are you doing? And I've often got a response back, oh my God, everything's a disaster, my life's falling apart, everything is a nightmare, I hate myself. Like this long description of how horrible their life is. Now, if you compared that description that they just sent to me versus what they posted on social media, it is just black and white difference. And this isn't a once in a while thing. This has happened again and again and again and again. So if we really want to know how someone's doing, social media isn't actually going to tell us how they're doing anyway, because people only post certain things on social media and they don't tell you how they're really doing. So again, social media is a fake version of reality. So if we actually want to connect with people, why not call them up or message them and get them on the phone or meet them in person if they live near you? Because then you can actually have a proper chat with somebody. So really wanting to connect with people, let's do it in person. And if we're not really interested in people, then what we're doing is spying on others and being voyeuristic. And being voyeuristic is not the ideal type of behavior. Number 8, arrogant echo chamber and being right. Facebook's algorithms, which is their computer programming that decides what to show you, what not to show you, and how their system works by itself. It's basically artificial intelligence. Facebook's algorithms have the ability to choose, do not see this post or do not show things from this person, right? You can say to them, don't show me this, give me this. And then when you click on something, they show you more of that. And if you don't like something, they show you less of it, right? So everything you do is logged by the system. It's called the action log, right? And if you want to discover how Facebook works, you can check out this article from Share Labs, which I've mentioned before, where you can see how everything you do is logged by their system, and then they respond to you appropriately according to what you did. So if you like so-and-so, they show you more of that person. If you say, don't show me anything from this person, they won't show it to you anymore, right? They figure out what you're interested in through their wonderful genius system. I got to give them 10 out of 10 for the level of sophistication. It's amazing, but it's evil genius. So they show you what you want to see, which then puts you in a position where you only see a lopsided version of reality. And we end up creating an echo chamber where we only see what we already believe while filtering everything else out. So what this does is it feeds the illusion that my version of the world, my reality, which I see repeated over and over and over again in my highly distorted newsfeed, my version of reality is the right way. Yeah, because if you never get challenged, if you're never, your point of view never gets challenged, then how are you going to think otherwise? Yeah, I purposely read news from left wing, right wing. You know, even on this course, I bought books that are pro social media, so I can see what other arguments there are. I try my best to expose myself to different opinions, so that I don't end up in this situation. But Facebook is designed to show us only the things that we want to see. And then we begin to believe, because of our spoon-fed biases, that we're obviously right and that our way is obviously the right way, because it's being reinforced over and over and over again every day for months and years. And therefore, because I'm right, then clearly those stupid idiots who don't see my world the way I do are clearly insane, ignorant fools who should at least be shamed, if not punished. Yeah, so this is why the politics has become so extreme, is because liberals do not get any information about the right wing, and the right wing just don't get any information about liberals. So the right wing people say, all the liberals want is a free lunch. You know, the liberals have no idea how wealth is created, and they just want to be given stuff for nothing and sit around on their ass and just steal money from others. All right? But liberals don't see it that way. They see the right-wing people, conservatives, as a sort of uptight and money-grabbing and uncaring. And that why should they not just hand over their cash? Because it's unfair. You know, so there's these different, I'm being obviously general here, but if you only see one side, then you believe that is the way it should be, and you can't see anything else. So Facebook and social media, by design, creates the monster within us, the arrogance within us, that I am right and I know everything, to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Rather than being interested in truth, what is the actual truth? And being detached. And finally, number 9, need for approval. All right, so our ego self, lower self, doesn't feel secure in itself, and it has a need for approval. Yeah, someone who is coming from a higher place doesn't need to be approved of by others, isn't seeking approval, isn't a people pleaser. The lower self has an inherent need for approval. And social media is a ranking system. So what we post is ranked by the approval of others. Other people rank us in the form of likes, comments, shares, views. Yeah, same thing with movies and books. So if you want a lot of people to give you good reviews, you have to oftentimes water it down so that it's the same sort of thing that most people believe. It's very, very challenging to put out new information and be approved of by the masses. And think about Jesus. Jesus brought a new message and he was crucified. Anyone who's radical and different gets attacked by the masses, yeah? So throughout history, you see this again and again and again. People with new revolutionary ideas are not at all popular. Yeah, because it shakes things up, right? So Facebook's not interested in novel new ideas, really, even though it pretends that it is. It's a ranking system. And so when we engage with it, Facebook triggers our desire for approval of others. This is a big deal. This is constantly going on. So someone posts a picture, and then what happens? Wait, 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 10 seconds. All right, check it. How many people liked it? How many people shared it? How many people... I feel better now. People liked it. Yeah. It's an inherent built-in thing for the ego. Do enough people like it? And if we get enough feedback, then we feel the tribe, the group likes us, and we're now acceptable, and we want to do more and more and more. And if people don't like it, then we feel bad, feel insecure, and may keep posting to gain the approval of others. Yeah, so you get an idea of what's going to be popular, what's not going to be popular. That's why people self-select which pictures and which posts to use, because not everything you post will be approved and get, you know, beneficial ranking. So instead of risking getting a low rank, it's better to play it safe and get a good ranking. Yeah, this is the subconscious reasoning behind most of the things going on. And in business, this can easily become an obsession, as people do all they possibly can to get more rankings and therefore satisfy the craving for approval. So instead of feeling, I'm all right because I'm all right, now the feeling is, I'm not okay, but I will be once I get a few more clicks and a few more likes. I've just got to finish this thing and buy a few more likes and like get set up some ads so I get more people to like me. Then I'll feel like the world is okay with me. So this is just the classic need for approval, need to fit in, status seeking. Yeah, so there's just a few things, and there's a lot more than this. And so by engaging with it, it's triggering all of these aspects within our psyche. Whereas if you went to higher consciousness places, you would be triggered into higher awareness, right? And the important thing here is that, of course, we can't avoid being triggered. And I'm not saying that we should avoid being triggered at all. It's good to be challenged, but to be challenged in a way that actually leads to a positive transcendence. So if you get challenged and then you have self-reflection and then you transcend it, then that's been helpful. But if you get triggered and then you get more and more and more and more into the trap, and then you get triggered again and again and again, and there's no actual self-development and change, then what have we done except cause ourselves more problems and feed the beast within us? And so, you know, someone listening to this may think, well, what about all the good stuff? You know, we've talked about all these dark things that it's triggering. Is it triggering any good things? Well, it could be said that you can find some positive traits demonstrated on social media, and maybe the desire to serve and share with others can be used on social media. And to some degree, it's true. However, what we have to remember is that the dark side and all these triggers are significantly more powerful. All this dark stuff overshadows and dwarfs those higher motivations. And the architects of the system have designed it like gambling to keep us hooked and to keep us coming back more and more and more by activating the hungry ghosts within us who are never satisfied. And so if you do want to use it for the service of others, then you can quite happily pay to put ads out. So instead of engaging with it as a customer, which is basically a free slave, you pay them to work for you. So that's just overall my advice on how to use social media, is that you use it for ads. If you are going to use it for ads more so than using it for your own personal distraction. So by all means, post some good stuff on there and, you know, pay for it and get it out there to lots of people if it actually works. And there will be some people who value it. But don't delude yourself about why most people use these platforms. And don't delude yourself by how much you are going to be triggered when you use it yourself. And remember that adding the good stuff is like dropping ice cubes into hell.